the various missions your congregation supports, get to know them. Fall in love with one of them at least and pray for them consistently, and would appreciate that. It's a privilege to be here today and get to share with you. Last Sunday was St. Patrick's Day, wasn't it? So let me start with an old story that you may have heard. And if you've heard it, just pretend you haven't, and it'll make me feel better. But years ago, in Boston on St. Patrick's Day, a man walked into a pub, ordered a pint of Guinness, lifted it up, and said, "I'll toast Mother Ireland with any man in this pub." At the end of the bar, a man stepped out and he goes, "I'll toast Mother Ireland with you." And he goes, "You're Irish." And he goes, "I'm Irish too." And they run and embrace in this huge hug. They step back and go, "Oh, I'm originally from Dublin." He goes, "I'm originally from Dublin," and embrace each other again in a huge bear hug. He steps back and he goes, I went to St. Mary's. "I went to St. Mary's." And they embrace each other in another bear hug. And he goes, "And I graduated in 1959. I graduated in 1959 and embrace each other again. About that time, the bartender, Mick, starts to walk away. And somebody goes, "Hey, Mick, what's going on?" He goes, "Ah, the O'Malley twins are drunk again." There are moments in life that I will call O'Malley moments, that those things that we once knew seem new again. Those things that we may have been around a lot become fresh. The Bible's full of those O'Malley moments. In fact, you may wonder if you're just starting your journey following Jesus or considering following Jesus, you may wonder, why do these people keep reading the Bible over and over and over again? Why do they have classes on the same passages of Scripture? Why do they preach sermons on those same passages of Scriptures over and over and over again? It's because there's a beautiful thing about this living word that's found in the Bible, that when you go back to it time and time again, there's always something new, always something fresh, something you will recognize that you didn't realize was there before. And I'll call those O'Malley moments. That which you were very comfortable with and that you thought you knew seems brand new and seems fresh again. So the passage we're going to look at today in Matthew 9, in the ninth chapter of the first gospel of Matthew, has an O'Malley moment for me. And I'll point it out when we get there. This text tells the story about when Jesus begins his public ministry and he's going from village to village. Well, let me just read it because that's what the text says. So in Matthew 9, we're going to begin in verse 34. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." Jesus began to go from village to village to proclaim that good news, that the kingdom was at hand, to heal the disease, to talk about this new hope in this kingdom. And his heart was broken because he saw the need. They were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He saw that brokenness. And the text says he felt compassion. That's a deep emotional response to the need he saw, to the brokenness he saw. His heart was broken. His gut was wrenched by the need he saw. But he recognized the workers were so few. You know what? It's probably no secret, and I don't have to go into great depth to remind you how broken the world is in which we live. All you have to do is read the news or watch the news. All you have to do is sort of look at the world around you and your own community, or look at the place you work or go to school, or look into your family or look into yourself, and you'll recognize how broken the world is, and how the gospel calls us to have our hearts broken because of that brokenness we see. So Jesus says, we need workers. And he prays for those workers. Now, I'm going to assume many of you know this, that when the Bible was written, when Matthew wrote his gospel, he did not put chapter and verses in there. When I said, turn to Matthew 9, we'll start in verse 34, that wasn't there. Matthew just wrote the narrative, the story about Jesus' life. So did Mark and Luke and John. When Luke wrote the book of Acts about the history of the early church, how these Jesus followers spread around the Roman Empire and the impact it had, he didn't have chapters and verses. When Paul wrote his letter to Rome or Corinth or Ephesus, there wasn't a chapter of verses any more than if you were to write a letter. Oh, wait a minute, nobody writes letters. If you were to write a long email, you don't put chapter and verses in it. Those were placed onto the text years and years later by scholars and scribes to help us know how to find certain texts where certain things are said. That's all they do. And usually it breaks down fairly in a natural way, where they end a chapter at the end of a thought. But sometimes a chapter ends when the thought is still going. And this text, I think, is one of those O'Malley moments, because if you're like me, I would have read chapter 9 and ended with Jesus saying, pray for workers. And maybe he prayed for workers. Maybe he stopped right then and he bowed his head or he lifted his head up to the Father and said, Abba, send workers into your harvest field. But it doesn't stop there. If you keep reading into the 10th chapter, you know what happens? If you just go into verse 1 and 2 in the 10th chapter, what takes place is after Jesus says, pray that God sends workers, he turns to his disciples and he sends them out on mission. So in my mind, what happens here is Jesus says, let's pray for workers. Abba, Father, send workers. And he goes, guys, guess who the workers are? And he sends them out to take this good news of the gospel, the kingdom of God is at hand, to heal, to respond to the brokenness of the world. Now, here's the central idea this morning. Just as Jesus sent out those disciples, he is sending us. The central idea is God is a sending God. And you want to know who he sends? Yeah, us. In fact, in John 20, 21, towards the end of Jesus' life, just before he ascends to heaven, he says, as the Father sent me, I now send you. So the central idea this morning is this. God is a sending God, and God sends us. Okay, I have a line for you this morning we're going to do together. And we're going to say it out loud in unison at the same time. You get the idea? And our line this morning is simply, God is a sending God and God sends us. Okay, ready? I hope you've had your coffee or your Diet Mountain. I missed my Diet Mountain Dew this morning. That's my caffeine rush in the morning. I missed it, so I'm running on fumes. So help me out here. Ready? Okay, together, out loud, in unison. Okay, God is a sending God and God sends us. Okay, some of you haven't had your coffee this morning. Let's one more time. One more time with a little energy. Ready? God is a sending God, and God sends us. I believe that wholeheartedly, that God sends us. I mean his people, his church. He sends us into our community. He sends us into our region. He sends us into our world. He sends us. But here's the catch. If he sends us, where does that leave me? Because I don't know about you, I grew up in a family of 6 kids. I had 4 sisters and another brother. So if my mom left the house and said, when I'm gone, you all clean the house, you know what that meant for me? I didn't have to clean the house because there's 5 others that's gonna do it. And particularly my older sister who would lock us out of the house and clean the house while my mom was gone. So there's a second line, and I promise you there's only 2 lines this morning. That first line you just said, God is a sending God and God sends us. The second line is equally true. God is a sending God and God sends me. Because he sends us together as his people, as his church, but he sends each individual, he sends each of us into a particular way of serving him. So we're gonna do the 2 lines together, okay? And I promise, those are the only two lines this morning you have to remember. Remember the first line you did so well? Let's do it one more time. God is a sinning God, and God sends us. Second line, God is a sinning God, and God sends me. Isn't that exciting? Why do I say it? Yeah, I'll explain that in just a minute, okay? Awesome, thanks for asking. But God is a sinning God. He sends us, he sends me. Now think about this. That's a pretty exciting idea. If you really think about it, that the God who created all the universe, that the God who sustains all of life looked out through history, throughout time, into 2019 into Rolla, Missouri, and said, this is the group I'm sending. The people who make up Ridgeview Christian Church, I'm sending them. Well, he looked into your life and said, I'm sending you. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? Maybe. I think it's rather exciting that God is doing that. And in fact, some make the point that the book of Acts never really ends. There's not a closure in the book of Acts. In the 28th chapter, it simply stops with Paul under house arrest in Rome. And he's under house arrest in Rome, and it just stops there with him sharing the gospel for anybody who comes to see him. That's why many maintain that what we do is write the 29th chapter of Acts. In fact, there's a church planting network around the country that's taken that name, Acts 29, because they're just extending the book of Acts on. And we get to do that. So it's exciting that God is using us in that way in this world. It's exciting, but you know what? It's also rather scary. I mean, think about it. If God's work is going to be done, it's going to be done by people like you and me. Now, I don't know about you, but I ain't that good. And if God is counting on me to do his work, and my guess is if I got to know you a little better, and I was honest, I might say, you ain't that good. But God wants to send you and use you to do his work. And I love the line from St. Augustine. It's attributed to saying, God draws straight lines with crooked sticks. And each and every one of us is a crooked stick. But God can use us to draw straight lines. It's both exciting and scary that God chooses to use us. Now, in this kind of setting, when somebody like me starts talking this way, invariably some will think, well, if God's going to send us, it means he's going to make us move. And sometimes that happens. Which you saw an example today. But sometimes we think it means he's going to send us off to another land. And you know what? I think there's one or two of you in the life of this church God's preparing, whether you're 16 or 56. He may be preparing to send you somewhere. I think of my friend John and Jennifer. John and Jennifer lived in Bettendorf, Iowa, part of the Quad Cities. Bettendorf, Davenport, Iowa, Rock Island, Moline, East Moline, Illinois. Okay, I know that's five, but it's called the Quad Cities. Trust me. John became a Christian when he was about 25. At that point, he already had his own business, a marketing business that helped small companies market themselves, and also was involved with political campaigns as a consultant and a marketing person with political campaigns. I was a fun place to be in politics every 4 years, if you love politics. And he loved what he did. He loved his business. He loved the people he worked with. But as he became a follower of Christ, he went on a mission trip, a short-term trip to Ukraine in Eastern Europe. And what happened while he was there, his heart was broken as he saw people who were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And he could not shake that brokenness and asking God, what can I do? And John and Jennifer decided that God was sending them to the Ukraine. So he sold his business, moved to Lincoln, Illinois, and finished his studies at Lincoln Christian University. And now John and Jennifer are in the Ukraine helping Ukrainians plant churches. So one or two may be going to be sent that way. Or I think of my friend Ed and Kim, who are living in Iowa City. We have an Iowa theme going today. But he lived in Iowa City. He works at the University of Iowa on staff. He also was a political cartoonist. Loved what he did. Loved what he did. Again, in his mid-20s, he encountered Christ, began to follow Christ at the Iowa City Church of Christ. And when they learned he was a guitar player and a singer, you know what happened. They invited him to be a part of the worship band. He started playing guitar and singing in the worship band. Before long, they said, hey, you know what? We need somebody to head that up. Would you be willing to head that up? He goes, yeah, I can do that. And then before long, he said, what if you came on part-time on staff and did that? And he goes, yeah, I could do that. And before long, he felt that God was sending him. So they moved to Washington, Illinois. He went on full-time staff at a church, finished his studies at Lincoln. That's where I got to meet him when I was doing adjunct faculty there, and I had him in a couple classes. And then I connected him with a church planting group in Chicago, and they moved to Chicago to plant a church in the northwest suburbs. One or two, God will send. But you know what? Every single person in this room, every single person that is a part of Ridgeview, God is sending. He may not send you to another country. He may not send you in a way that you have to change careers, but he is sending you into your workplace, into your families, into your neighborhood, into that relational network you have to take the good news, to be his people, to show people that hope that is found only because the kingdom is near. You're being sent. I think of my friend Ray. When I met her, she was 23, and she said, I don't know where I'll be someday, but right now, this is where I'm being sent. I'm being sent to lead a group of 5 junior high girls. That's how God's sending me, to pour my life into those 5 junior high girls. Or my friend Joe, who said, how God is sending me is I work at Wells Fargo, and I work on a work team of 10 other people, and none of them are Christians. I'm the only Christian. I'm being sent into that work team to live out my life, to show them who Christ is. That is where I'm being sent, into my workplace. Or I think of my friend John, who in his early 60s took a retirement from Motorola, and he said, what I want to do now and how God's going to send me now that I'm retired is to teach ESL, English as a second language, to immigrants and refugees. And that's what I'm going to give myself to in retirement. Or my friends Barb and Wayne, retired school teachers, who said how we're going to do our retirement. We're being sent in our retirement to run our church's food pantry and help at our local Christian camp and lead mission trips to Mexico. That's how we're being sent in retirement. Or I think of my friend Melissa. And when we were talking about this, she said, you know, my grandma is being sent this way. My grandma can't get out of the house anymore. Rarely gets out, go to the doctor and maybe to church, that's it. But she is a prayer warrior. She prays for people. She's one of those people that if you say, pray for me, she actually prays for you. And she keeps this prayer journal, these notebooks, and said, Melissa said she has this stack of notebooks where she's written down everything that she's prayed for, and she'll flip back through it and pray for people that she prayed for in the past. And Melissa, she's telling me that story, laughs, and goes, you know what? I realize she prays for all my ex-boyfriends. As a father of a daughter, there are some guys who should be ex-boyfriends and that you should be praying for. But she said, that's how my grandmother is sent. She's being sent as a prayer warrior to pray on behalf of others. And here's the point. Here's that central idea that God is ascending God and God sends us, and God is ascending God and God sends me, is God wants to use you. God has gifted you not only with gifts but experiences and wisdom you've gained from those experiences, and he wants to use you. So the only question I have this morning is a simple one. How are you being sent? Some of you know that clearly. You can identify the way my friend Ray did and said, I'm being sent right now to pour my life into the lives of these 5 junior high girls. Or Joe, that I'm being sent into my work team at work. Some of you may not be sure. How does God want to use me right now at this point in my life? But you're in a good place. If you want to explore that, this is a great place to be. You have great leaders here. Great people here that will come alongside you and help you explore that and consider, how can God use me, that God wants to use me in, and how will he work through me? I don't know what that may mean for you. I only know this, that God is sending you. So the question you need to ask is, how is he sending me? So remember those two lines we had? Remember the first line? Let's do it together. God is a sending God, and God sends us. The second line, God is a sending God, and God sends me. Throughout the Bible, there's a few stories where there's a clear moment God sends someone. One of those is in Isaiah 6 when God is calling and sending Isaiah, the prophet. And he has that encounter in the temple. And after that exchange with God, God says this, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And Isaiah's answer is very similar to what Mary, the mother of Jesus' answer was in the Gospels. "Here am I, send me." So my prayer for you this morning, wherever you are on your faith journey with Jesus, is remember he is sending you. He's wanting to use you. Seek that out, of what that is and how that is. And as he begins to reveal that to you, and he asked, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" You'll respond, "Here am I. Send me." Whether that's Ridgeview Christian Church as a body, will you respond that way for the way he wants to send you into this community? Whether it's you as an individual, or as a couple, or as a family, how does he want to send you? But my prayer is you'll respond, "Here am I. Send me." Pray with me. Father, we're so grateful for the good news. We're so grateful the kingdom is at hand. We're so grateful that you are present in our lives. And we're so grateful for the hope we have in you and the life transformation that can take place. We're so grateful that you send us. May we be open to how and where you want to send us, as a church, as a people, as a body, and as an individual, as a couple, and as a family. May we respond, "Here I am, send me."